Bibles this morning, and we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2 this morning, and we started a series on the characters of Christmas, and we focused on Simeon and Anna last Sunday and looked at how God used humble people to advance the greatest story ever told, as was just sung. And this morning, we're considering some more folks. I want to focus on the shepherds around the Christmas story. And these are characters that we often don't hear a whole lot about. You know, the New Testament, obviously.
Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these four books tell us about Jesus. That's the emphasis. Really, only Matthew and Luke give us the genealogies. And the very beginning, John kind of gives us the fact that he's God, he's deity, he's the Word. But it doesn't necessarily give us the specifics of his birth. Mark just skips right to Christ as an adult. And so Luke's account is what really gives us the most details. It includes the story of the shepherds in the birth of Christ. And it's interesting when you think about who were the first people to hear of the greatest story ever told, the Christmas gospel. Who were the first believers of the Christmas gospel? Who were the first preachers of the Christmas gospel? It was the shepherds. And so let's consider their story as a part of the bigger story of Christ's birth. Let's start here, Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, and everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's stop and let's pray before continuing this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of worshiping you this morning and the gathering of your people. And as we come to encourage each other, to build each other up, Lord, we come on the foundation of your word. And as we look on your word this morning, I pray that by your Spirit, you would speak to us, Lord, that you would convict us and show us how we can be more obedient, that we can grow in faith and trusting in you. I pray that you would help us to first and foremost know you as our personal Lord and Savior, and that we would follow you and follow your leading in our specific lives. Lord, I pray you'd help me as your vessel at this time to just be filled with your boldness, with your love, with your compassion, that you would clearly speak to every single person under the sound of my voice today. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified, that you would be exalted, we will get a greater vision and appreciation for your power and for your will for our lives. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Looking at the characters of Christmas, talking about the shepherds this morning. And the shepherds were the first to be notified of Christ's birth. And they are an important part of the nativity story. And so let's look at what the Bible has to say about these shepherds. Number one, who were they? Who are these shepherds? The shepherds are a key part of the story. They shouldn't be forgotten. They shouldn't be overlooked. In Israel, there were many great people of influence. There were political leaders. There were religious leaders. There were scholars. There was rich people there. But humble shepherds were the first ones God enabled to hear of this Christmas gospel. Here we see it in Luke 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And they didn't hear their glad tidings in a fancy cathedral. No, all they had was the starry night as their beautiful roof over them. The grassy field, their altar to kneel upon. The glorious shining light was their four walls. And we see that they were given this Christmas gospel. We don't know them by name. We don't even really know how many there were. And the reality is, when you study the history of that day, shepherds were not very popular people. That wasn't a very popular profession in those days. They were considered social misfits, sometimes thieves, certainly outcasts. They were considered unclean. Sometimes they weren't even able to participate in temple worship. They were hardworking people, that's for sure. They were watching over their flocks. To society, they were unimportant. But to God, they were very important, amen? God saw them and had a plan for them. In the Bible Almanac, it says that shepherds were distrusted in Jesus' day as being a wild bunch. James Montgomery Boyce, in his commentary, says this rural, nomadic folk were a despised class. They were considered unreliable and therefore were not even allowed to give testimony in the law courts. You'll remember that the Egyptians, they looked down on shepherds, right? In Genesis 46, 34, every shepherd's an abomination to the Egyptians, right? Joseph wouldn't even eat with his brothers, didn't want to be associated with them. It was an abomination to the Egyptians. Shepherds, interestingly, the first profession we see in the Bible is that Abel was a keeper of sheep, Genesis 4, verse 2. And so we know that being a shepherd wasn't necessarily a glamour job. It was something that you had to do, but it wasn't a glamour job. It entailed, obviously, taking care of sheep. It was a job that at times could be dangerous because you're protecting the sheep from dangerous wild animals or from being stolen. But mostly, it was pretty boring and tedious work. Interestingly, shepherds are a powerful illustration in the Bible. You think about probably Israel's greatest king was King David. But before God could entrust to David the kingdom and ruling over his people, God had to prune him and teach him as a young shepherd boy so that he could one day shepherd over God's people. You think about the reality that God calls pastors. That word pastor literally means shepherd. The New Testament uses three terms to talk about pastors: pastor, elder, bishop. They're all interchangeable, the same office. And the term pastor literally means shepherd. And the reality is pastors have a responsibility, a privilege to shepherd over God's flock. It's God's flock, not my flock. It's God's flock. And the calling of being a pastor is to feed the sheep, to feed the flock, not fleece the flock, amen? Right? It's to nourish God's flock, to build them up, to follow the truth, the chief shepherd. And ultimately, the idea of a shepherd points us to Jesus Christ. He's the chief shepherd. We're just the under-shepherds. Peter calls Christ the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And so he is our true shepherd. If you go with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10, we see Christ is the good shepherd. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 11. John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And then the Bible continues on here, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, he came into his own, the Jewish people, but he came for all of us, all humanity, all mankind, to come under one fold so that he could be our shepherd. He says, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That's the work he came to do. As the shepherd, he came to literally give his life for us. Praise the Lord. He gave his life so that you could be saved. You can be forgiven. You can have heaven as your eternal home. That's the mark of a true shepherd right there. Sacrifice, love. But let's skip down to verse 27. I love these next few verses here. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Folks, we are called to follow the voice of the shepherd. There's a lot of voices out there that are purporting to teach the Bible, purporting to teach the truth, but if you have discernment, you can recognize that's not the voice of the shepherd. That goes against Scripture. That goes against what my Savior stands for. And we're living in a world today that wants to bombard us with different philosophies and ideologies, and you've got to take these different positions, otherwise you get canceled or you're not politically correct. Listen, we're following the voice of the shepherd. This world has never done anything for you or for me, but my shepherd gave his life for me. So I want to follow him. How about you? Let's follow the shepherd. Let's determine I'm following the shepherd. When people ask you, why do you do what you do? Why do you believe what you believe? I'm following my shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Amen. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We call that eternal security. The reality that, yes, once we're in Christ, we're in him forever. Not because little old me is holding on to him with all my strength and power, because the mighty God himself is holding on to me. Now that I'm in Christ, he's holding on to me, and I'm in Christ, and I'm in the Father, and I'm in the Spirit, and I'm secure. I'm secure in Christ. How about you this morning? Do you know for sure that you've been born again? I'm not talking about, well, when I was young, I think I got baptized, and I don't have a clue what. Listen, do you know for sure that you've been forgiven, you've been born again, that Jesus is your Savior? Right now, are you trusting in Christ? See, that's the great need of the hour, that we know Christ as our Savior. And here he promises us that when we come to him, he gives us eternal life. How long is eternal life? It's forever. It's not you have it today and you lose it tomorrow. It's forever. And notice the security. You shall never perish. That's Christ's guarantee if you're a true sheep. That's security of the genuine believer, not the make-believer. Amen. So we're secure because Christ is our shepherd. If you go to Isaiah chapter 40, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And we see that the role of a shepherd is to feed, to nourish, to protect, to provide for, right? David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means he's not going to lack or want for any good thing, because his shepherd will meet his needs. And we see that ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd that leaves the 99 for the one that's lost. Amen. Maybe this morning you're here, you say, Pastor, I'm far from God. Say, Pastor, you know, I'm not like some of these good Christians. I've made some mistakes in my life, and I'm far from God. Can I tell you, Christ is that good shepherd. He will leave the 99 for that one that's lost. He's seeking after you. Maybe you came in here looking for him. He's looking for you. Yes, he came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, when we go out there to our friends, our coworkers, you can never give the gospel to the wrong person, amen? Because he came to die for all, and he's seeking who wants to trust him as Savior. So let's give the gospel out. Let's tell people about the good shepherd. And these shepherds here in the Christmas story, again, they were outcast, overlooked, but the Lord selected them to use them for a mighty purpose in this story. And certainly the role of shepherds is very important. So that's who the shepherds were. But then number two, let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Number two, let's consider, what were they told? What was the message these shepherds were told? Let's look again at the story. The shepherds are quietly getting on with their own business. They were just having a normal day as shepherds, right, in the office or in the field, I guess. And suddenly an angel appears to them. And you know what? They were afraid. I'm not surprised. You'd be scared, too, if you were in your office putting in numbers or whatever you do for work or attending to medicine or whatever you're doing. And all of a sudden, an angel comes before you and shining brightly, interrupting your work day. Doesn't happen every day. So they were afraid. They were scared. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So this angel, it's a singular angel at this point, unnamed, and he gives them a message here that, listen, don't worry, don't be afraid. This is actually a good message here. I have something very important to tell you. And the angel's words told them of Jesus and his amazing birth and how they could recognize him and find him to worship him. It's interesting. First it was a singular angel, and then a great host of angels would come. In verse 14, they would begin to start praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that's the Latin Gloria in excelsis Deo that we sing of. Glory to God in the highest. And this glory, by the way, that for 400 years was missing in Israel. There was this removal, it seemed like, of God's presence, of God's speaking to his people. And these people had been oppressed and waiting for a deliverer. And now, glory to God in the highest, the Redeemer has come. The promised one, the Messiah, the deliverer, he's been born. And it's a very special, powerful message. I want you to know this morning, angels, they are messengers of God. That's literally what the word angel means. It means messenger. The Bible says in Hebrews that they are ministering spirits, that they don't go around doing their will. They go around doing God's will. That's what angels do, right? And so this is a message from God himself. And they had a very important message to tell, a message of glad tidings. That's good news. A message of peace, joy, and all of it was centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you can't have true peace. You can't have true joy. You can't have true meaning in life without the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Sunday school, we were talking about this reality that every one of us, every single person that's ever been born, is born with this gaping hole in their life that only Christ can fill. People try to fill it with money, with entertainment, with pleasure, with drugs, with alcohol, with vices, with just self-gratification, and they're never satisfied. Because we are created for Christ. And so if Christ is missing in your life, then you're missing out on the reason for life itself. You're walking around earth with no purpose, with no meaning, and your eternity is in question. Yeah, heaven is not your home if you don't have Christ. In fact, the Bible says that there's a hell. There's a real hell. There's a lake of fire. There's an eternal damnation for those that refuse Christ. They'll face his wrath. He came the first time as a lamb. The next time he comes, he's going to be a judge for the wicked. Will you receive Christ now while there's still hope and time? Receive him as your Lord, your Savior. Don't put this decision off. He came. He came to be our Savior. This is good news these angels are proclaiming. You know, maybe some of you were reached because someone came to you and gave you the good news, the gospel. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was just a godly friend or coworker or relative that first invited you to church or gave you a tract or explained the gospel to you. And they were used of God as a messenger to give you the gospel. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for messengers of the gospel. Amen. It's not just the angels. All of us, if you're saved, we're called to be witnesses, to be messengers. We're called to be ambassadors, to give good tidings, to give out the good news. Yes, have you been giving out the good news? I think now is a great time to go around while we're shopping and buying gifts and getting into debt, amen. We can go out and give out tracts. We can go out and say, hey, I'm buying this gift for my wife, for my daughter, but I want to also give you this tract. It's about Jesus Christ. He's the greatest gift. He's the perfect gift. We can tell people, invite them to church. Hey, my church, we're having special Christmas services. We're singing Christmas carols, special music. The gospel is being preached. And now is a time, a great time, to get the message out, to give out the good news and tell others about Christ. And the angels, they proclaim the good news. The gospel is good news. The angel goes into detail. In this message, he says in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Listen, we read over that very quickly, but there's a lot of theology packed into that one sentence. Let's break it down for just a second. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," literally a rescuer, a redeemer. That means that man needs redemption. Man is in need of deliverance. Man is in bondage to something. Man is tethered to something that's damning him, that's condemning him, that he needs to be set free from. It's sin, and Jesus came to deal with our sin. That's why he came. There's a Savior, a rescuer, a deliverer, who is Christ. Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One. That the story of Christmas doesn't just begin in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John. It goes back to the Old Testament. Hey, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Right there at the fall of man, God promised that there would be a seed of the woman that would bruise the serpent's head. He would deal with the sin problem once and for all. See, this is the chosen one, the promised one, the Messiah, who is Christ, the Lord. He is Lord. Lord means he's master, he's king, he's ruler. Perhaps you've received Christ as your Savior. You say, Pastor, I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to be delivered from the penalty of my sin, which is hell. And so I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. Yes, he's your Savior, but he must also be your Lord. That means he's your master. That means your life is no longer about you and your desires, your ambitions, your goals. Your life is now about him. My life is all about how can I exalt Christ? How can I exalt Christ while I'm at work, while I'm providing for my family, while I'm at school, while I'm in my community, while I'm celebrating Christmas with my family, right? It's all about Christ. And now our lives have meaning because we're living for our Lord, our Master. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. The Savior has been born to rescue us from sin. The Savior was promised, and this Anointed One was spoken of in the Old Testament, and he is here. He's been born. Sinner friend, if you're here this morning, there is a Savior. There is an answer to the sin in your life. There is an answer to the life of bondage, the life of wickedness. There's a solution. It's Jesus Christ. And hallelujah, what a Savior he is. He's an incredible, loving Savior. We sing the song, "Man of Sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim." Hallelujah! What a Savior. And this announcement brings a host of angels who in the night sky begin to bring glory to God. There's a question about whether they're singing here. The Bible specifically just says they saying, not necessarily singing, but whether they're singing or saying it is still the truth. Glory to God, amen. All glory belongs to God. That means honor, worship, reverence belongs to God. All the credit belongs to God. That's the way we're called to live our lives, that God is being glorified. I know we're living in a world that's all about me. I got to be recognized. It's all about how important I am. I need my respect, and I need to be recognized, and I need to be given credit for what I've accomplished, what I've done. But for the Christian, it's all about God's glory. For the Christian, we look at our lives, and Lord, these children, the life I have, the career I have, it's all because of you. Glory to God in the highest. Can you look over your life and say, glory to God? Lord, I praise you for what you've done in my life. Lord, I praise you just for who you are in my life. That's what worship is. It's this yielding that, Lord, it's all about you. God deserves, he rightly deserves all of our praise, all of our glory. And it's interesting, just as quickly as this, imagine this beautiful scene of angels proclaiming this birth and glorifying God, just as quickly as they appeared, they disappeared. In verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. So they gave their message, and quickly the shepherds were plunged into darkness once again. And that brings me to my third point this morning. What did they do with what they were told? What did they do with what they were told? They were given a very important message. They were given the greatest message you could ever be given, that the Savior has been born, the Savior has come. In verse 15, the shepherds said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Verse 16, and they came with haste. So notice, they believed what the angel said. That shouldn't be missed. They didn't just dismiss that. Well, that was a bad dream. I can't believe that. That's too incredible. That's too just out there. That's too extraordinary. I can't believe that. No, they believed it. And so in faith, they said, hey, let's hurry. With great haste, let's immediately go to find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, to find the Savior. See, they believed what they were told. You see, there's a lot of people that come to church, a lot of people that sit right here where we're sitting this morning, and they hear the gospel preached week after week after week, but can I just be honest, it goes in one ear and out the other. There's no blessing in just hearing it. The blessing is in believing it, appropriating it into your life, that he's not just a Savior, he's my Savior, and I believe in him personally. See, I grew up as a young child, I was taken to church every service you can think of. I was at Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, choir practice, ladies meeting. Yeah, I had to be there too, sit in the back. But it's not osmosis that just sitting in the building all of a sudden makes you a Christian. There had to be a point in my life as a young man where the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, Carl, you need to trust me as Savior. You're trusting in yourself. You're trusting in your family. You need to trust me personally. I thank the Lord as a 12-year-old boy, I trusted Christ as my Savior. He's still my Savior, amen? See, you have to believe it, appropriate it into your life. They believed the angel and they went. See, that was the evidence of their faith. They went to see Christ with haste. Furthermore, they went and they told others. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told of them concerning this child. See, they were the first evangelists. They were the first preachers of the gospel here. They saw Jesus long before the wise men, mind you. If you read Matthew 2, you realize the wise men came several months, maybe even a couple of years after Christ was born. And so the shepherds were there first. And so they were the first ones to proclaim this to those around them. They saw Jesus. He was probably less than a week old in the manger. We sing the song, the Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of his blessings and tell of his love. Tell how he's coming from heaven above. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. These shepherds, do they have a church and a big wooden pulpit and a big platform and 100-some-odd people coming to hear them? No. No, their crowd was just their co-workers, their friends, their neighbors, but they were still preachers, amen? Some people think, well, I have to have a classroom. I have to have some position for me to start being able to declare the gospel. No, my friends, just go out there, start telling people about Jesus Christ. Okay, can I just be honest? Just tell them what he's done for you. Just tell him what he's done for you. Can I tell you how he saved me from my sin? How he's brought meaning into my life? How I found him to be true, to be a wonderful Savior? And just tell him your testimony. I've seen him answer prayers. I've seen him meet the need of my family. and just tell him about your personal testimony. These shepherds, that's all they did. They were preachers, and they were telling people about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit leads us to that place and gives us the message, but we must believe it and receive it. And then when we do that, we must share it with those around us. That's the example these shepherds set for us. They came with great haste and they found Christ. By the way, this is another lesson for sinners that, again, it's not enough just to hear the message. They went to find the Savior. You have to put your faith in Christ, trust in Him, go to the Savior and appropriate, put your faith in Him, believe in Him as your Lord and your Savior. And it's interesting, when you read this story, the angels didn't give them GPS coordinates how to find Jesus. But they found Him, right? They were seeking. They weren't going to miss it. We're going to find this Jesus. Hey, we're going to find Him if it takes us all day, all night. We're going to find Jesus. Amen. And they found Him in verse 16. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It's funny. The wise men were directed by God in Matthew chapter 2, but they got lost and had to stop for directions, right? And get help in Jerusalem and have a meeting with Herod there. But the shepherds, they never lost their way. Charles Spurgeon said this, "It often happens while shepherds find Christ, wise men often miss Him." And these shepherds, these uneducated outcasts, they found Jesus. And then Luke 2, verse 20, says, "And when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." In other words, they went back to work. Now it's back to just another Monday, I guess, back in the office. And now they had a message that they had to now share with those in the office, those around them. Something had changed in them now that they can now proclaim. They had to tell people what they had seen and heard. Acts 4, verse 20 says, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." When the apostles were being imprisoned and beaten, even killed, they told them, "Stop preaching about Jesus," but they kept on preaching. They couldn't help but speak and tell others about Christ. How about you? Do you have that fire in you? Maybe you ought to ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, give me a boldness. Give me a desire to share the gospel with those around me." See, Jesus, when He looked at the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. He can give you that compassion. I know we're living in a hustling, bustling metropolis where everybody around us is just annoying, right? Millions of people that are just in our way, but they're not just millions of people. They're individuals with a soul that are going to spend eternity somewhere forever. And God puts them into your path sometimes. Will you love them as Jesus loved them? And share His glory, share His grace, share salvation. These shepherds went right back to work. Tomorrow, you guys, some of you are going to go back to the office, back to work, back to school perhaps. But will you go glorifying and praising God? Will you go proclaiming the good news, the gospel message? See, these shepherds were the first ones to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Are we like the shepherds? We have heard, have you believed, and preached, proclaimed the Christmas gospel. Maybe you're at a different stage. Maybe you're at the stage where you're hearing it, now you need to simply believe it. Maybe someone's here this morning that you've never taken that step of faith to actually trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe there's a young person, he's your parents' Savior, but he's not your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been coming to church week after week, but you've never truly made that decision to trust in Christ. You can do that. Today is a great day, and this season is a perfect season to receive Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've heard, maybe you believe, but you haven't yet gone out to preach the Christmas gospel. Can I encourage you, start getting busy going out into the field. You say, "Pastor, aren't they going to mock me and scorn me and they're going to reject me?" Yes, some of them will. But then there are many that are just like you were, that are looking for an answer, looking for hope, and we can come along and meet those folks and share Christ with them. You know, it's incredible. I was talking to someone recently that they told me they have a friend who for years didn't want to hear about God, didn't want to hear about Christ and the gospel, but something this past year, God has done something in his heart, and he's looking at his life, the sin in his life, and he realized he can't keep living like this. And he came to my friend and said, "Hey, I want to hear about Jesus now. Hey, when can I come to your church and might come next Sunday? Pray for that." Listen, God is working in people's hearts. We don't see it. We don't know it. We're just called to go, called to sow seed. It's not my job to save people. It's just my job to give them the message. And Jesus does the saving, amen? And so we're sowing seed, not knowing what the Holy Spirit is already doing in people's hearts. See, if you truly believe that, you'll go more often. You'll sow more often. Maybe you'll leave this morning, you'll grab some tracts with you, or maybe you'll pray for someone specifically and try to give them a call and invite them to church because you believe that God is working, that God can draw them to that place of genuine salvation, even this Christmas season. See, Christmas is more than just Santa Claus and reindeers and ho-ho-ho and giving gifts. Don't miss the real news of Christmas. It's a Savior has been born. Christ has come. Read an interesting story in December 1903. After many attempts, the famous Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled, they telegraphed this message to their sister Catherine. "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at it quickly and said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the big news that they flew. The men had flown the first time human flight. Some people, they're missing the big picture of what the season's really all about. Don't get caught up and distracted. Don't miss the real reason for the season. Don't miss the Savior has been born. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the example of shepherds, Lord, that we can consider. Lord, living in New York City and living in 2021 in this generation, we don't relate on the surface to shepherds, but Lord, when we look beneath the surface, Father, we think of the reality that you choose to use the simple, you choose to use the ones that the world says are unimportant, that the world looks down upon. You choose to use the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And Lord, certainly all of us can say we're weak, but Lord, in you we're strong. Lord, in ourselves, we're not capable of doing anything. But Lord, you've saved us. You've given us a message to share. Lord, may we be like these shepherds. May we go with joy, boldness, compassion, glorifying and praising God, telling others that the Savior has been born, that Christ has come, that there's hope, there's forgiveness, there's salvation because of Jesus. Lord, we may not know all the verses, we may not know all the theology, but we can share our testimony of how you saved us. Lord, help us to be obedient just as these shepherds were. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's spend some time in prayer this morning. We often have an invitation time. I want to give folks an opportunity to respond. We want folks to respond to whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about. Maybe you're here, you've heard the message. Christ is our Savior. But maybe God's speaking to you. Now it's time for you to believe the message for yourself, to make it personal. Maybe this would be the greatest Christmas that you can receive Christ as your Savior. Is there anyone that would say, "Pastor, that's me. I need to be saved. I need to trust in Christ as my Savior. God's speaking to me. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning." Say, "Pastor, that's my need. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I don't want to keep playing church. I don't want to keep coming and living this life that's not genuine because I'm not truly saved. I want to get it settled even now." Would you raise your hand if that's you? I want to pray for you. How many of us, we've embraced this Christmas gospel? Praise the Lord for that. Are we sharing this Christmas gospel? Are we going glorifying and praising God? Maybe God will convict us, encourage us to be more bold and effective in sharing the gospel. Oh, maybe this morning we can have a time of prayer for the unsaved loved ones, for people that we need to talk to and pray for and reach. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand. Lord, would you have your way in this invitation time, Lord? meet with us. May decisions be made for you. As our pianist begins to play softly, let's come and pray. If you want to come pray at the altar, the altar is open and available. Let's come and pray and be honest before God. Say, Lord, I want to be a witness. Lord, I need your Spirit's power, your boldness, your compassion for the lost. Oh, let's come lift people to the Lord by name, specific ones that we're praying for, we're burdened for. Oh, let's go and tell the message.